All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday. We come off of a day where we had a pretty wild crossover into no crossover. So we're riding the roller coaster.
The crossover was so good yesterday, right. We could not possibly follow it up.
It canceled itself.
Yeah. It'll be back tomorrow.
You go out on a high note like George Costanza. All right, a lot of things coming up on the show today. Sam McEwen will join here at the bottom of the hour from the Omaha World Herald. We'll talk about a lot of different things with him, big picture stuff with football, basketball, what's to come. Jacob Padilla, Hale Varsity, we'll talk hoops with him. I know he was at the Creighton game last night, so we'll talk we'll have a wide-ranging basketball conversation with Jacob at 11, Michael Brunts at 12:30. And your normal everyday shenanigans as we go through it here. Love to hear from you on the show, 402-951-1620. You could email Connor at 1620thezone.com on the Equitable Bank inbox all throughout the show. The lineup, of course, is powered by the Rooferees at John Higgins Weather Garden. Why don't we start with Creighton from last night? I mean, talk about needing that one to get, and I know it doesn't really seem like it because we've had a lot of gaps in between these games now, and of course that was Creighton's first home game in 32 days last night. By the way, late arriving crowd, kind of expected for 6 o'clock, and you know it's bitterly cold and
did it fill in? As the game progressed, I saw pregame. It was sparse.
It was really light.
Yeah.
And then they did the national anthem, so they had like a 2-minute break where they kind of stopped everybody from flowing in, and people were kind of just piling in at that point. So I don't want to say late. It was timely arriving crowd, but it did fill in a little bit. But I don't know. It was bitterly cold, and you know, COVID concerns, all that stuff. But lot to cheer about from Creighton last night. Shooting the lights out. They had one of those games. And, you know, you're going to have, with this young team, you know, you're going to have nights like that. Like, at the beginning of the year, they weren't shooting it very well. And you're like, well, this is very, very un-Creighton-like. If there's one thing that they usually can do, they can usually shoot the ball pretty well. And then you start looking around, it's like, okay, this team might be, you know, it's created a little bit different. The roster construction is a little bit different, but they have some capable shooters. And last night they knocked them down at a high rate, 14 threes. And really by halftime, went on a nice run before halftime. It was basically shutting St. John's out. But man, they did a good job at times and then a bad job at times of dealing with the real pressure that St. John's is going to give you. Nembhard, I don't know if Nembhard, you know, you ask him, and I don't know if he would tell you that he handled it particularly well. They started throwing different looks at him. They started pressing a little bit. But at the end of the day, Creighton knocked down shots. I don't know if you're going to get that every game. But it's good to have it. You're 11-5 now, 3-2 in the league. Like we've been kind of pointing out over these, there's a stretch of three games here, St. John's, DePaul at home on Saturday, and then you go on the road to Butler. And it's hard to count like a road game in conference, especially in a power conference, especially in the Big East. And especially at a place like Butler, it's hard to count that as a win, just automatically, but you do have to win this stretch of games that you're supposed to. We're starting to get a better feel for the conference as a whole. It's starting to kind of tear itself out a little bit. Villanova, even though they went down to Marquette, you know, they're still probably the cream of the crop of the league. It was 57-54 last night at home against Marquette. Xavier and Creighton are in, you know, maybe a similar spot. And then you have, of course, UConn and Seton Hall, and they're there as well. Marquette, all these, Providence, probably NCAA tournament teams are borderline NCAA tournament teams, with the exception of Villanova, who should be, you know, up where they are normally at the start of the year. But I mean, it felt like it was a night where that could be somewhat of a springboard here, and that's what it's going to be for Creighton. I mean, the confidence thing is important, and I know that they always play, you know, pretty consistently, and it's a confident team. But you're just going to be dealing with all these physical matchups and stuff that doesn't necessarily lend itself to, like, you know, the team who's really young and inexperienced. They played an all-around good game last night, took care of business, generally took care of the basketball. It's something that you wanted to see cleaned up pretty well. I was a little worried. It was a sleepy kind of environment, as we mentioned. But you played, obviously, really, really well, shot it really, really well, and you move on to the next. I want to talk about Kaluma. We get a tweet from Johnny the Pig. It says, man, these crossovers are awesome. Damon Gary, who are you guys going to chime in? I want to talk about Kaluma for a second. And Creighton's kind of inconsistencies and, you know, how they are on a game-to-game basis. And like I said, it's not that wide of a scale. But they fluctuate a little bit, and you might get one thing one night, and you might get another, you know, the turnovers crop up and stuff like that. So Kaluma is, you saw last night, and I saw the reaction kind of afterwards. He had some flashes of like, oh, okay, yep, I see it. He's going to be pretty good. And then I think there was a few moments, it was late, and I noticed that I was there last night, and I noticed that he ran to the locker room, was in there for a few minutes before a media timeout, came back, checked into the game, and had, like, the end of the first half there, like, I had a couple turnovers, biffed on a bunny at the rim, and then, you know, goes out, comes back in, and is pretty stellar the rest of the night. He does some really impressive stuff, and he gives you a look that Creighton, I don't know, you know, from an athletic perspective, I just don't know that they've seen that. You know, I don't know that we've seen that here in Omaha for, you know, especially, I mean, really ever. Just from an athletic spot, and then his growth is pretty obvious. And being more consistent on a game-to-game basis. Now, Kaluma, if you watch closely, Kaluma is always the guy who gets the talk, you know, from Greg McDermott as he walks off onto the bench. He puts his arm around him, you know. He gets real close and is very direct with it. Like, you know, that's a pretty good coaching job by Mac, but, you know, it's a good job by him to take some of this stuff and really, really improve. There have been games where he's kind of been a non-factor and they've gone other directions, but in order, if this team, is going to reach its potential. I mean, a lot of it does go on a guy like that because he has such a high ceiling. We haven't really seen him take over a game quite yet. Maybe that's the next step for him. And I don't, maybe he's not that kind of offensive player. And it's always nice when you have Alex O'Connell to rely on, who had what, 30 last night. So it's coming together a little bit here. And I'm not, look, it certainly hasn't been bad in the first few months of the season here. They've gotten off to a nice start, and you're kind of starting to settle in on what they are or what they could be, or, you know, how they need to get better. But you look at it this way, I mean, O'Connell's starting to be your consistent or you know, has been your consistent kind of A1, you know, alpha scorer guy, which is good. And Kalkbrenner is your rim protector, really good passer out of the post. His development's been awesome, and he's been fantastic this year for Creighton. He's, by the way, he's bailed out Creighton in a lot of spots. And then Hawkins is so important in what they do, just from an intangible perspective, making winning plays. I mean, Team in Lincoln talks about that all the time. Hawkins is just so important to what they do. I mean, he comes off the floor and things just seem a little bit, you know, looser. He's always going hard. He's always defending his guy the best he can. And, of course, he's a threat to knock down a shot. And then here come the young pieces, right? Great spurt from Nembhard early in the year. Up and down a little bit, but doesn't have to be too much. Same thing with Kaluma. Maybe a little up and down. We see spurts of greatness from him. But doesn't need to be the dude. It's a really, but it, and by the way, if you get that from those guys, Creighton has a chance, you know, it's going to be a really good team. And I don't know that I thought that they would get there this year. The roles are so important. And all the credit goes to Greg McDermott here and how he's, you know, even in a year where they're turning over a lot, and they're young, they found a way to supplement that with some pieces that you can really count on, really rely on, and then allow those young guys to just, at their own pace, raise their game as they go through experiences that you, I mean, you can only get this by playing in the Big East, by playing basketball games, by having experience. It's tough. It's not easy to do that. Because the what you want to do is you want to depend on him. I mean, I've talked about this before, but contrast that situation with the Bryce McGowan's one at Nebraska. Like, they depend on him to do so much. He has to have the ball in his hands all the time, and especially without Trey McGowan's. He has to have the ball in his hands a lot. He has to be Nebraska's alpha dog kind of scorer. And they just don't have a lot of guys around him that they can lean on for consistent minutes or consistent play, with the exception of Walker. So he's got to be so much for them all the time. And when he's not, that's why it looks the way it does. That's a lot of pressure for a freshman. I don't care how high of a recruit you are, how highly ranked you are. Freshmen are going to go through this. I was out at Central Millard North the other night, and you know, those are two really good teams. Those are two top five teams in the state of Nebraska. And, you know, historically have been good programs. I mean, Millard North over the last couple of years, obviously they have a Division I recruit, you know, and Central has a couple as well, or one maybe. And you just look at that game and you watch it, it's like, man, this is so, the speed and the physicality and the level of connectivity on defense and, you know, the plan on, I mean, it's just so much different at the high school level, or at least what I saw. I mean, it's kind of allowing athletes to, you know, take over and do their thing because the talent disparity is so big. You just don't have that margin for error at this level. So freshmen are going to go through it. They are. And that's why you want to be an older team. That's why you want to be an experienced team. Creighton has a young team, and credit to them. We're starting to get a pretty good grasp of what they are. That's unique. This is a good coaching job. And it's not just, you know, I don't just come to you with this because they shot the lights out last night and looked really good against St. John's, but maybe it has a little bit to do with it. Just having a night like that. You won't have nights like that every night. But you can expect some level of consistency. It's been a fun watch. Just watching this team kind of grow up before our eyes. So, Creighton gets the job done last night. DePaul and Butler are the next two in the next 6 days here. One at home on Saturday and one on the road. And then the Pink Out game, which should be really fun, as it always is. All right, like I said, Sam McEwen of the World Herald will join here in about 10 minutes. We'll talk some We'll talk some football with him as Nebraska's roster begins to clear at least a little bit. And their coaching staff seems to be all set. Like I said, Jacob Padilla, Hill Varsity at 11. Michael Bruntz at 12:30. Plenty of things to come outside of the local sports world as we get ready for a divisional weekend in the NFL. Some people's favorite football weekend of the year. Eight teams. Four really good games, in theory. Should be a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a break. Sam McEwen is up in about 10 minutes. We'll come back more up next in the Connor Hamper Show on 1620 The Zone.